Normally when we have baptisms, I will preach on the sacrament of baptism, but it's the new year, and I begin every new year with the same message. It's, I don't use the exact same words. It's not like I've got one message and I read it over and over again. It's the same idea. I come at it from different angles. I preach about it from different texts. But it's pretty much always the same message. And I keep preaching the same message for this reason. If you will respond positively to this teaching, you will mature in the faith, you'll become more sanctified, and you will become more like Jesus Christ. How's that sound? You do what I say here? Those things will happen. So, it's good stuff. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't some empty promise. What I'm going to talk about this morning is a God-ordained method for Christian growth. It's something that will take time. It's something that will take effort. It will force you to prioritize your time and your thoughts. It is a discipline. So what is the teaching that I'm going to bring to you this morning? Well, I want to exhort you to regularly read, believe, and put into practice the Word of God. Here's a quote. No spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's Word. Nothing can substitute for it. There is simply no healthy Christian life apart from a diet of the milk and meat of Scripture. The reasons for this are obvious. In the Bible, God tells us about Himself and especially about Jesus Christ. The Bible unfolds the law of God and it tells us how we have all broken it. There we learn how Christ died as a sinless, willing substitute for breakers of God's law and how we must repent and believe in Him to be right with God. In the Bible, we learn the ways and will of the Lord. We find in Scripture how to live in a way that is pleasing to God, as well as best and most fulfilling for ourselves. None of this eternally essential information can be found anywhere else except the Bible. Therefore, if we would know God and be godly, we must know the Word of God intimately. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for Your Word. We are thankful that You have seen fit to communicate with us, Your creatures. We thank You for giving us a book that we can look at. We can see the history of Your dealings with mankind. Father, we thank You for not only revealing Yourself, but also revealing ourselves to us. In Your Word, we learn that we are sinners and that we desperately need Your grace and Your love and Your forgiveness. And so we not only learn about You and learn about ourselves, but we learn about the answer to our problem, and that is Jesus Christ. We thank You for revealing and recording the gospel in the Word of God. Thank You. Thank You so much for teaching us what we need to know to be saved, to be made right with You. Thank You for revealing to us that You are willing to save and forgive us. We are so grateful for the gospel, God. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as Christians, we all know that we should read the Bible, right? We understand that it's something that Christians are supposed to do. Bible reading is a Christian discipline. Now, I could press that point all morning long, right? I could just keep saying that 100 different directions, and we would all leave either feeling guilty or proud, depending on how we do with our devotion times. I don't want that to happen, though. Instead, I want to acknowledge the point that Bible reading is a Christian duty. It is a Christian discipline. But I want to concentrate, at least for a moment, on these questions. Why should we want to read the Bible? Why should we desire to meditate upon Holy Scripture? Why should we be excited to study the Word of God? Again, I think we're all agreed upon the idea that we should read the Bible, but sometimes I think we forget the benefits and blessings that come from spending time in the Word of God. So I want to list, in no particular order, just some of the blessings of reading, meditating on, and obeying the Word of God. Here we go. The Scriptures teach us the way of salvation. The Scriptures teach us the way of salvation. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Bible makes us wise for salvation. The Scriptures teach us how to live righteously, and they equip us to serve God. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. How about this one? Reading the Word of God brings pleasure and enjoyment. Psalm 119, 103 says this, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Another reason, memorizing Scripture shows us how to avoid temptation and sin. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Here's another one. The word of God is like bread for your spirit. It's nourishment for your soul. Jesus said this, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Here's a big one for me. Hearing and obeying the word of God will prepare you for the day of judgment. You want to be ready for judgment day? I do. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Matthew 7:24 through 25. Here's another one. Abiding in the truth of Jesus will set you free. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The word of God builds us up. That is, it edifies us, and it strengthens us spiritually. Furthermore, it prepares us for our eternal inheritance. From the book of Acts, chapter 20, we read this, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of God gives us courage for the present time and confidence in things to come. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." The word of God makes us fruitful, and the word of God grants us stability. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Psalm 1:1 through 3. knowing and obeying the word of God allows us to demonstrate to God, to our Creator, that we love him. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." John 14:23-24a. God uses his word to bring about faith in his people. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Romans 10:17. The Bible teaches us about Jesus. Jesus said this, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." John 5:39. The word of God gives us guidance in life. It shows us which path to take and which path not to take. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:105. The word of God allows us to distinguish between truth and error, between what is right and what is wrong, what's correct and what is false. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word of God with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Acts 17:11. The word of God sanctifies us. It helps us to grow in holiness and obedience. It causes us to become more like Jesus. Jesus prayed these words, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." John 17:17. And so, if Bible reading can have all of these benefits, these are just some of them. These are just some of the blessings that come along with spending time in the word of God, meditating on it, obeying it. If it can have all of these blessings, then what should we do? How do we apply this? Well, I want to get very practical. On the table downstairs, you'll find a number of Bible reading programs that you can use to give you some structure in your own personal Bible reading. And what I'd like you to do is to read the entire Bible. Read all of it. If you presently do not have a plan to read through the whole Bible, then I simply want to encourage you to take one of those downstairs and use it. We've got a number of different kinds down there. Some of these are very, very intriguing. One of them is a chronological Bible reading plan. If you want to follow the events of the Bible as they actually occurred, then grab the chronological one. There's another one that takes you through the Old Testament and New Testament every day. So you can read part of the old, part of the new, every day of the year. Another one, very interesting, as you know, most Bible reading plans are set up on a one-year schedule. There's one down there that just lists every book of the Bible, and it has the number of chapters in each book. So you don't have to finish it at a certain pace. You don't have to do it within a certain time limit. You read through, say you don't want to start in Genesis. You're super interested in Nahum, right? So you decide, I'm going to go to Nahum the prophet. And you just mark them off as you read it. And then you go back to Genesis and then Leviticus. You go where you want to and just mark it off as you read through. And you'll have a record to know that you've read through the entire Word of God. Now, beyond the general encouragement to be diligent in reading and obeying Scripture, I also want to press one specific point of application concerning Bible reading. I want to encourage you to read the Bible in your homes with your family. Now, there are certain things that I bring up from time to time, and they seem to cause an immense amount of guilt for people. There are certain topics that I can bring up, and people just automatically go, "Oh man, don't look at me, Al." This happens to be one of them, and I don't want that to happen this morning. I want to read a few passages of Scripture to you, but before I read them, I want to remind you about a principle. Here it is. God gives us the grace to do what he commands. God knows that we're weak, and if we're left to our own internal resources, we will not do what he commands of us. So God, by the Spirit, gives us the energy, strength, and ability to do what he requires. He's just gracious with us in that way. So remember that principle as you hear these words of Scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. One from the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Our kids need grace to obey us, right? They need God's grace to obey us. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Now, parents, can you think of anything more valuable that you can give your children than the knowledge of God Almighty? Anything better that you can give them? There's nothing. Is there anything better that you can teach your children than the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the thing that encourages me so much about those passages is that God not only tells me to be diligent about teaching those things and instructing in those matters, but he also gives his Holy Spirit to empower me to actually do it. And the same is true for any believer here. I want us to think about these things for a second from the perspective of God's sovereignty. From the perspective of God's sovereignty. Obviously, here's a quote. Your child is placed in your home by sovereign design. We must recognize God's good hand upon our children by virtue of his having placed them into our believing homes. In fact, even if it is an unequally yoked home in which only one of the parents is a believer, God's blessing is still upon that home. 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 14 explains, if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, let her not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise, your children are unclean, but now they are holy. That's the end of the passage from 1 Corinthians. Your child cannot somehow catch salvation by osmosis or through bloodlines. Rather, he is the recipient of a sanctifying influence from heaven by virtue of his being placed within the sphere of gospel influence. Therefore, because of God's sovereign grace and his providential design, some children are placed in a home where the gospel is lived and taught. This should give every believing parent good reason to hope that God intends to save them. Timothy is a good case in point. Acts 16:1 tells us that he was raised in an unequally yoked home, having an unbelieving Greek father, and yet his believing mother and grandmother successfully taught him the scriptures that were able to give him the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15. Timothy became a powerful minister of the gospel, greatly used by God, despite having an unbelieving father. Now, we must not just simply acknowledge God's sovereign orchestration in our homes. We must also use every God-ordained means to reach our little ones by seeking in a responsible way to initiate and consistently cultivate the daily worship of God in our families. Indeed, God commands this ideal. He says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember also your creator in the days of your youth. How else is a child going to know his creator in his youth apart from his parents daily bringing Christ near to him? God desires for parents to use every available means to reach their children while they are young, when they are tender and most naturally influenced by their parents. Now, I want you guys to know that I know that family worship can be very difficult. You know, I don't know how many times crazy things have happened in our home during family worship. You know, you're in the middle of prayer, you're trying to wax eloquent to God about something that's going on in your family life, and the phone rings, right? And the kids start giggling and laughing because, oh, there goes Dad trying to be all holy, and there's the phone ringing, and things are spiraling out of control, right? You're reading scripture, and you're taking your time to carefully go through a passage, and a plate falls off the table, smash, and the kids giggle and laugh because there goes Dad again. And you know, you're trying to make some point from the passage, and all of a sudden the dogs start barking and going crazy, and the kids giggle and laugh, and everything seems so chaotic at times, right? I mean, that's just how it goes. Especially if you have younger ones, things just seem to spiral out of control. But despite all that, despite the fact that it can be difficult, think of all the good things that can come through this God-ordained practice. Your children will be taught the way of salvation. They will learn the gospel from you. They'll learn about Jesus from you. They will learn how to live before their Maker. They will be taught to distinguish true from false doctrine. They'll be protected. They'll be taught about sin and righteousness, and they'll be encouraged to avoid the one and to pursue the other. They'll be warned about the dangers of sin. They'll be taught about the glories of heaven. They'll learn the many benefits of reading Scripture. If converted, they'll be strengthened. They'll be edified, encouraged, and sanctified as they learn the Word of God. And finally, they'll be given an example that, should the Lord save them, they might actually use in their own homes. Generation after generation may be saved and glorify God through this practice of family worship. I want to say a word to the young kids. So, kids, if you've zoned out, I know it's easy for that to happen. Oh man, I just saw a bunch of heads pop up. Good. If you've zoned out, I want you to listen to me for a minute. Now, in some of the verses that I've read this morning, we hear that God wants you to follow Him while you're still young. God does not want you to wait until you're older to begin to walk with Him. Although if you're here this morning and you're older and you haven't walked with Him, now's a good time too. He wants you now. God wants you while you're young. He expects you to seek Him out with your whole heart. He wants you to learn His laws, to be diligent to obey Him. He expects you to turn away from your sin and to pursue righteousness, even though your friends, even though other people around you might not be acting like this is a time in their life where they should follow Jesus. Christianity is not just for adults. One of the practical ways that you can begin to follow Jesus is to participate in family worship. You can help get things ready. You can pray during the prayer time. You can listen when the Bible is read. You can ask questions about what has been read. I want to encourage you to follow Jesus the way that God teaches you to in the Bible, by learning spiritual truths from your parents. Now, parents, if you don't do this, you might be wondering how to go about this. How do I start this? What am I going to do? And again, I just want to give you some practical ideas, again, from this book, Rediscovering Family Worship. Here are some ideas, some practical things that you can do. Scriptural instruction is central. The Word of God is to be at the center of family worship. Our goal should be to help the members of our family develop a love for God's Word, with the hope that they will begin to feed upon every word of it. There are a variety of ways God's Word can be conveyed to your family. One, by direct reading from the Bible according to a plan. Two, by reading from a sound Bible storybook. Three, through the use of a catechism, a very successful method of teaching biblical truths by simple questions and answer. Four, through scripture memory and review. Five, by reading from a good devotional commentary. Six, By reading through solid Christian classics like The Pilgrim's Progress. 7, by reading from various types of Christian literature, biographies, historical fiction, or theologically based novels. Again, some fathers may feel inadequate in this area, but where God has given responsibility, he also provides the ability to accomplish it. For the father who is truly committed, where there is a will, there is a way. So again, before you leave this morning, please make sure to go downstairs and look at the tables that are set up. Take a free copy of this book, Rediscovering Family Worship. Please grab one of these. Read through it. See if there's something in there that you can use in your own home. And also take a look at the books that are down there. See if you might want to purchase some of those to use in your own home as you practice family worship. I just want to encourage you to figure out what will work best for your family and obey, and then see how the Lord will give you grace to do his will. Amen.